Hey guys, this is Tyler from ScareFactory.com, and you're listening to the Wrestle Horror Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen,
greetings, viewers,
welcome
and
to Wrestle Horror.
With me, as always, my co-host Donnie Hoover, back in the studio this week. Donnie,
yeah, we're back in the old dungeon in the basement here, where I belong. So, ready to go.
Pennywise hasn't been harassing you, has he?
No, he grabbed my shirt when I was trying to get out earlier, but that's always he always does that.
No, he's an just. Just take Haley and use her as a meat shield.
Yeah, right. There you go. She's not as afraid of him as she was. My grandson still is, but not her so much anymore.
This comes from a man who loves to terrify his granddaughter and his grandson. What, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old?
Yeah, they're 7 and 8.
Yeah. But anyway, let's talk about our guest that's on this episode. Tyler Prophet with the ScareFactor.com, a haunt review site, the top one in the nation, in my opinion. Tyler, welcome to Wrestle Horror. It's good to have you, man.
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be on the show, and thanks for the kind words about the website. It's very modestly accepted. Thank you.
Well, I got to tell you, anybody that's looking to find out about a haunt, get the reviews, get honest reviews about a haunt and everything, all they have to do is go to Scare Factor. And, you know, I know it sounds like a big plug, but it's the truth. When I want to travel, like I've been doing the past couple of years, not haunting, but going, I go to your site to see what I want to go see, where I'm going, you know?
Well, we appreciate it. I mean, we're definitely not the only review site out there. We sure like to see everybody succeed, and we, definitely not trying to hog the whole thing or anything, but we just like doing what we're doing, and seems like what we're doing works pretty well, and we're glad a lot of people like to follow us. So I still appreciate the kind words. Thank you. We just like doing what we're doing and going to haunts. So
that's all that matters. If you like doing what you're doing, it's not a job. It's fun, right?
Mm-hmm. It's exactly right. It does get to be a lot of work, and we wonder if it's a job sometimes, but bank account confirms it is not a job.
So Tyler, tell me, how did you get involved? What really drew you into horror when you were growing up?
I was surprisingly not much into horror when I was very little and growing up. I didn't really catch the bug until about when Nora and I started seeing each other. We met at a mental institution. That's a true story. We both worked at a local mental health hospital here in Madison, Indiana. I was in maintenance. She was one of the housekeepers in the one thing turned into another. And as things proceeded, she's like, now we got to go to a haunted house. We got to go to a haunted house. And I'm like, what in the world would you intentionally pay somebody money to scare the crap out of you for? I just couldn't get it, you know, because the way she's describing it to me, oh, it's scary. It's scary. You know, you run out of there and they chase you with chainsaws. And I'm like, this doesn't sound fun at all. You know, why would I pay somebody money to scare the crap out of it? Well, she ended up getting me to go. She gave me an ultimatum. She said, either you're going to haunted houses or this ain't going to work. I'm like, all right, fine. I'll give it a shot. And so very first one I ever went to was Baxter Avenue Morgue down in Louisville, Kentucky. Okay. And that was in probably 2008, 2009. And hell, it might've been earlier than that, but yeah, we went, started going through there, and I'll never forget. That was the first time I saw, Lucian Tomes. He was the they'd kill me if I didn't remember. I'll remember it here, just it's been so long since but anyway, he was the kind of the gatekeeper of the haunted house there, and he would always just look at you with, he's always had this like a, well, back then it was like a salt and pepper hair and beard goatee kind of thing, and he'd just look at you with his glasses down on the end of his nose. And they tell you how, because Baxter Avenue was a touch haunt. And he's like, well, you might be thinking that's not fair. Well, life's not fair. He just always had a very awesome way of executing that intro speech there. And Vanderdark, Vanderdark, that was his last name. Him and his wife, Lillian Vanderdark. Warren Vanderdark. There it is. I knew if I said it, I'd come up with his name. Warren Vanderdark was his character name. Never forget it. So that was that. And along with all of the little nooks and hidey holes things going through the haunt is just a, like I say, the first time I'd ever been to a haunt. I was absolutely blown away. The chainsaw guys around back was going to town. I was just hooked, hook, line, and sinker ever since then. And so after that, we started going to basically as many haunted houses as we could fathom and started paying attention to all the other haunt review sites, trying to figure out where to go. And then we ended up stumbling onto the Scare Factor and we're like, well, that sounds like an awful lot of fun. We're going to a bunch of them. And we were already making notes on where we were going and all that kind of stuff. And that just gave us an outlet to kind of record what we were doing. And one thing led to another. We're here where we're at today. So, yeah.
You guys are one of the de facto pages to go to. I mean, and you're so thorough and you got so many teams out there. I mean, is there a certain criteria that your teams have to meet to be a part of the Scare Factor?
There are. We do have quite an extensive application process, actually. It's at minimum 3 to 4 steps. We do a couple of questionnaires. That's steps 1 and 2. And then if you say the right things, you have not worked for a haunt in the past 6 months. We don't allow people to work for haunts and review, because if you're working in a haunt, you should be working in the haunt, not out writing reviews on everybody else. And it kind of avoids that whole conflict of interest, you know. Other than that, just having good transportation, have the ability to read and write the English language, and just have a love for haunted houses and want to tell everybody about it. After you get through the questionnaires, we also have you do a mock review. We make you follow all the Scare Factor criteria and put it in the right format. And we will give you a copy of our score sheet to model your mock review off of. It's over 30 different points that we look at each individual haunted house. We group those together into 8 different categories. And that's our system for generating scores. We can't, it's really, really hard to just pull a score out of our hat and give it to a haunt without thoroughly thinking about it. And actually, there was an applicant that just tried to come on with us in New York over the summer. And it was around about the same time the House of Horrors over in New York was closing down. So we were actually all able to go over to the haunted house together, or at least in the same weekend there. And his mock review was going to be on that haunt. And he wasn't able to complete the application because the score sheet didn't align with what he wanted to give the haunt. And he was wanting to give him quite a bit lower than what the score sheet required him to give. And so what we would have given him would have been what he said the score sheet was spitting out. So that tells us that the score sheet was probably right. And he was just had some kind of grudge that he was wanting to give a low score on or something like that. So we're like, now if you can't do it because our system's keeping you honest, then, you know, maybe we're not the best fit for you. So
Now who came up with the score sheet system? Did both of you, or was it you, or?
It was us and Nora. Yeah, that wasn't a native Scare Factor thing. And we were trying to figure out how to make ourselves more consistent when we were reviewing the haunts. Because we were, I think, well, when we first started, we were going to about 20 haunts in one season. You know, Tom, the owner at the time, you know, we were always submitting our reviews to him, and we would always be thinking to ourselves, does this make sense with what we said on that other haunt? And, you know, this haunt was this long. What kind of score did they get for length? And, you know, all this, that, and the other. We wanted to make sure that what we were saying was consistent from one haunt to the next. So we made this Excel sheet, and it has since been elaborated on quite a bit over the few years. And we've actually gotten to the point now where instead of all of the categories being weighted evenly, we've actually started giving more weight to the categories that are worth more, like scariness. That's going to be worth more than theme, for example. You know, yeah, if you got a good theme, cool, it's going to add some points, but it, you know, was it scary? That's kind of more important, you know. So we figured out a way to give some weight to all those kind of things, and so far it's been very, very helpful. And even on a national level, there was one question that we did have to take out because there's some haunts in certain regions of the country where it was hard for it to be fair on a national level. Like, for example, down in Florida, it's pretty common for the haunts down there to be between 10 and 20 minutes or even 10 and 15 minutes. Whereas when you come up here in the Ohio Valley, if you don't have over a 20 minute show, you're pretty short haunt, you know? So, and we were trying to give a defined score based on how many minutes long your haunt was. And we came to find out it just wasn't fair for the Florida haunts, because they just couldn't, you know, they don't, I don't know if they just don't have the real estate or if it's just not part of their culture down there to have that long of a haunt. So we've made little tweaks like that, but for the most part, it works for just about any kind of haunt you can go to. So we're pretty proud of that.
Yeah. Did you ever find out why theirs is shorter than the upper part of the countries? Is there a reason for it, or?
I'm not sure if there's any one certain reason. I have my personal suspicions, and it's probably more so applicable to the outdoor haunts, and because they're in much more tropical areas, you know, susceptible to hurricanes and that kind of thing. They may not be able to keep a massive outdoor show up for as easily, you know, so maybe they keep them down shorter, or maybe once they get so long, they break them up into multiple smaller haunts, and that's just how their customers like it down there. They like to be able to get them in and out. You know, Florida's a pretty good hot spot for haunted houses, so it maybe throughput's a thing. So all kinds of theories, but no, I don't know anything definitive.
Maybe I'll have to go investigate that next time I'm down there. I grew up in Florida, so.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. You can get up with our team. Jurassic Shark is our Florida team right now. Maybe you guys can team up and go tag team a hunt together. I still got to reach out to them, make sure they took last season off because of all the COVID stuff. They didn't want to get out in it, so I got to make sure they're going to be coming back this year. Yeah.
So with regards to everything that you've done with Scare Factor and everything, what made you guys decide that this is what you wanted to do? I mean, because you don't just do the reviews, you do so much more, but how did you two make the decision that this is the way you wanted to go in the haunt industry?
So that's a really good question. And I'm really not even entirely sure that we really knew what we were getting into when we made the decision. So of course, you know, like I say, we all got started in our, you know, just as a review team for the Scare Factor. And we just started going to more and more. And the more we went to, the more we wanted to see the Scare Factor succeed. I mean, for the first few years when Team Zombillies was started, which is Nora and I's team Zombillies, we were looking at our, you know, we started our Facebook page and all that kind of thing. And our Team Zombillies page very, very quickly outgrew the Scare Factor page. And like Scare Factor had like 300 likes and Team Zombillies had like 4,000 or 5,000. You know, it's like, okay, this is the Scare Factor is supposed to have more than all of them, you know, because it's over all of them. But there was that. And then the website used Flash. And that's right when smartphones were starting to become real hot and heavy. So it wasn't a very mobile friendly website. This was like 2010 is when we actually started reviewing for Scare Factor. And like 2011, 2012, the awards page on the Scare Factor still said check back in 2007. So it's like, can we get this changed? And so we kept talking with Tom, kept talking with him. And he's like, well, the guy that makes the updates on the website wants, you know, to get paid for every update that he makes. So that was a kind of a hindrance for getting anything updated. And we kept bugging him. And we finally asked him one day, we said, like, can we go start a Team Zombillies website or something? Like, this is driving us nuts, you know, we got to have something going here. And he's like, well, why don't you just buy the Scare Factor? And we're like, wait, what? Huh? You say just buy the Scare Factor? And he's like, well, yeah, you guys think about it and you should just buy the Scare Factor. He's, you know, because he saw us taking off with it and all this kind of stuff. And we're like, well, okay, we sat down, thought about it, and yeah, we ended up writing up a little contract. We got the domain and got to buy the Scare Factor. And that first year was when we decided to bite the bullet and create the directory also. That was in 2014 when we bought it, and 2015, I believe, was the first year for the directory. Yeah. And that was quite an undertaking because, you know, nobody really still knew that Scare Factor had a directory because, well, it didn't. So, no, you know, we didn't have haunts submitting their information to us or anything. It was literally just her and I trolling Facebook pages and Google crawling and doing all the searches to seek out every haunted house that we could possibly find. And I've got to get the latest numbers since we do these. Well, we're in the middle of this directory update now, but last I knew we were somewhere in the ballpark of 2,400 haunted house listings across the country.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. Well, let me take this opportunity right now to tell everybody that we're enjoying our talk with Tyler Prophet. We're going to take a brief break here, throw in a commercial, you know, pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
Did 2020 take its toll on your fitness? Well, body slam the pandemic and get back in shape with WrestleFit. This innovative program combines all the fitness regimens you'll need to reach your goals. The WrestleFit workout will bring strength training, cardio, and the world of professional wrestling together in a fun, new, and exciting way. Have yourself a blast working out with dumbbells, kettlebells, slam balls, ropes, tires, and an 18-foot full-size wrestling ring. The WrestleFit workout isn't just for pro wrestlers. The WrestleFit workout is for everybody. At the Now Training Center, you can pursue your fitness goals and learn how to train like a professional wrestler without all the bumps, bruises, and slams with the WrestleFit workout. Go to www.newohiowrestling.com/training for more information or stop by the Now Training Center at 625 Eastgate Parkway, Blacklick, Ohio, 43004, Unit 6137.
And welcome back to Wrestle Horror. Thanks for listening to our great commercial. We're here with Tyler Prophet. Donnie, you had a question for Tyler while we're off there. What's up?
Yeah, he was talking about the haunt directory and all that. And it also, from what people may not know, is they also have recordings and listings for escape rooms, too.
I didn't know.
And was wanting to ask him what brought on the escape room listing and what else did they have planned down the road.
Yeah. So obviously when haunted houses aren't going on, there's escape rooms basically year round. And that's something Nora and I have taken a pretty good liking to. We love good escape rooms. So we decided we should create an escape room directory also. And in talking with some of the other teams and all that kind of stuff, they like going to the escape rooms too. So we actually created a whole different set of review criteria just for escape rooms. So it uses a very similar score sheet like we was talking about before. And so we can actually do all that stuff too. That's really good. And we're also getting into, in addition to the escape rooms and the haunted houses, there's a whole nother wing of the website that we're kind of building in the background. And that's for paranormal attractions and locations, kind of like Waverly Hills and, you know, all those kind of actually, quote unquote, actually haunted houses.
That'll be a neat addition. Yeah, this is still a work in progress.
Yeah, it's not live on the website yet, but we've got the capability in the background to build the same kind of library like that.
Excellent. I've been to several of these, and you know, you mentioned Waverly Hills. I've been there several times and seen some really weird stuff.
There's some weird stuff in there. I caught something really interesting last time we went in there. It was right after the Monster Bash in 2019 down in Louisville. They were gracious enough to open their doors and let a few groups come through. And I was following behind our group, and I turned around and I was taking a picture down a dark hallway trying to sit real still because my phone's got the little night sight picture taken, the long exposure. And right as soon as I started taking the picture, somebody got right up in my ear and said, "I apologize for the sound of my illness."
Wow.
And I'm like, huh? So I just sat there real still, kept taking my picture. I knew Nora was right there next to me where it was coming from. And I'm like, "Nora, who was right here just talking in my ear?" And she's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Somebody was standing right here next to me and whispered in my ear, 'I apologize for the sound of my illness.'" And she's like, Nope, nobody was there. I'm like, somebody was there. I mean, it was plain as day. I mean, I didn't even flinch because I thought it was real. You know, I thought somebody was there. Some weirdo drunk in the group. Somebody was like, you know, messing with me, mumbling in my ear, but he's bigger than shit. That's what he said. I apologize for the sound of my illness. Real raspy voice like that. I was like, holy cow. So that was real cool. Yeah.
What floor were you on?
I'm pretty sure I was on, it was either the third or the fourth, and it's whichever one has the shadow figures, because that was the one I was, that's what I was trying to, yeah, that's what I was trying to capture with the camera. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's awesome that you mentioned that and that you were on the fourth floor. I mean, the last time I was there, it's been a couple of years, but my wife and I went, and we did the 22, the cheap tour. And when they got us up on the fourth floor, they sent her down, you know how they send different people down the separate ways to see if the shadow people come out.
Mm.
My wife, Chris, disappeared behind a black something.
Huh.
Could not see her.
Huh. Something and, got and, between you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely. So it's like, I don't know what it was, but I couldn't see her. And, you know, granted it's dark, but your eyes adjust and I could see her and all of a sudden she just disappeared.
Huh. That's crazy. Huh.
So that was like, that was one of those things. It was like, oh, wow. Okay. I have to log this one.
Right. Right.
So,
I think I'll be interested in hearing their criteria questions when they come up with them for the paranormal.
Right.
Like, question number one, did you see a ghost?
Right.
Question number two, did you shit your pants when you seen said ghost?
How many ghosts did you see? Did it seem like there were enough ghosts for the amount of square footage in the house? Yeah. This could go downhill real quick. Did you catch any SLS footage? Did you catch any infrared footage? Did you blah, blah, blah? What quality was the EVP that you captured?
Oh, I prepared for the EVPs.
No.
Yeah, I've got a Zoom H8.
Oh. We're in need of a new audio recorder for the because we've got our podcast now, you know, so we're gonna have to start recording some stuff while we're on the road going to these haunted houses, and I don't think my little teeny tiny handheld pocket style thing is probably going to cut it. But
well, I'll tell you what you can do. It's cost effective and it'll do good for you. It's a Zoom H1.
The H1. Okay.
They're like $120.
Oh, okay. That ain't bad. The H1. I'll have to remember that. All right. So you said you got the H8 and it does good for your EVP stuff.
Oh yeah. It's a production studio and a handheld.
Oh, huh. Yeah. I can
plug in multiple microphones to it. I've got mic capsules I can put on it. I've got a mixer built into it. I mean, just, it's a little bit more pricey than the H1, but
right. Well, yeah, we've thought about getting one that does the dual mic inputs, because we could get a couple of shotgun mics and kind of cut down on road noise and stuff. But yeah,
well, you can actually install a shotgun mic capsule onto the H8.
Oh wow, that's a whole nother ballpark there.
And then I'm buying one soon.
Right, right.
It's very nice. I enjoy it. It's a little bulky, I will tell you that.
Mm, yeah, yeah, probably.
It's nice. It's got like six microphone inputs plus the microphone capsule, and you can do field recording, podcasting. It has a sound pad for podcasting all built in, and you can change the sounds on the sound pad. It's a great piece of equipment.
Interesting. Uh-huh.
And Zoom, if you're listening, I want money for advertising.
Sponsorships coming at us.
Yeah. Right? I'm talking you up now. I mean, I use Zoom every, I'm recording, or actually I'm on my Zoom mixer, which is an L8.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got my Zoom microphone up here, which is a ZDM1. So yeah, I like Zoom.
Not a sponsor. Not a sponsor.
Hey, <music. laughs> yeah,
not a sponsor yet.
Not a sponsor yet. That's right. Yeah. I'll be sending a letter to him after the show. I'll say, hey,
just send him a copy of this podcast.
Out of you on our show.
Yeah, just send him a link to this podcast. Like, here, listen to this.
Yeah. Zoom, 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 zoom. You know. Yeah. So okay, so you've got paranormal stuff coming up. But you guys do so much more. Now, I've been to one, at least one of these. You guys do an after season party that is off the chain.
Yes, that's the Monster Bash. Uh-huh.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Tell everybody that doesn't know about it a little bit about it.
So, like you said, Monster Bash is an after season haunt party, kind of a for haunters by haunters kind of thing. And it was actually brought up to us by Travis and Jason. They run the American Horrorplex and the Devil's Attic down in Louisville. And they said, hey, we want to put together this party and, you know, kind of get everybody in the haunt community together, because everybody, you know, I forget the term of that too, but the after season blues, kind of when everybody's kind of in their funk of, oh man, it's all over, you know. So this is a way to get everybody back together again. And then that's about the time when the Scare Factor's got our awards ready, so we can roll in our awards ceremony that we're able to do. And when it was down in Louisville, we were able to get some, get a drag show in there. We had DJ Fear, which is Brett Hayes from Fear Fair. He's able to come down and do a live DJ for us. He's got a wonderful setup, lasers and fog and lights and all kinds of good stuff. Puts on an absolutely great show. We have food vendors, just miscellaneous item prop vendors, you know, that kind of stuff. We got Kevin Alvey from Gore Galore one time to bring some scratch and dent stuff in there. Of course, that's been a few years ago, and I've been trying to get him back over here. And Kevin, if you're listening, we still want you to bring your stuff to the monster. Everybody really liked it, seemed like. So, but yeah, it's a super great show. It's been in Louisville for the past probably 4 years or so, 4 or 5 years, excluding last year because we weren't able to do it. But, and this year, or in 2019, we had basically outgrown the venue. We were up to, I think, either 700 or 800 people in attendance. And it was just shoulder to shoulder packed inside of this indoor space that we had. So we've been looking at some new venues up in Indianapolis, and trying to find a common ground between Louisville and up around the Chicago area, where there's also a lot of haunts that our Chicago team reviews. So we're trying to find a, you know, a good middle ground where we can try to get everybody in there, and it's still not too far away from Ohio and those guys that come from that direction. So we do have a spot picked out that it's going to be, but I'm not quite prepared to release it yet because we haven't ironed out all of the details. But we have leaked enough that most folks know that I guess I might as well go ahead and say it. It's planning on being at Nightmare on Edgewood in Indianapolis. They recently came into a new building. So they're working on getting that space figured out. We, like I say, we've still got to go iron out the wrinkles and figure out exactly how everything's going to work, but it should be a good time for sure. And anybody that's even remotely affiliated with the haunt industry, whether you're vendors, if you're a parking lot flagger, if you're an owner, actor, makeup artist, vendors, like pro vendors, or if you've got some little knickknack vendors that you like to do, everybody's welcome to come and be a part of this little last hoorah for the end of haunt season. It's always a great time.
Podcasters too.
Podcasters are welcome. Podcasters are welcome.
You know, I've watched the party grow. I wish I could have gone to more over the past few years, but I'm going to fix that. Hopefully. now that things are hopefully getting back to normal, I don't know with this Delta variant, what's going to happen.
Yeah. Kind of hoping it continues to not be a thing, but it's yeah.
We're keeping our fingers crossed and everything like that, because I want to get back to it. And I know Donnie does. Donnie would love to attend something like this, because he is he's a haunter through and through, and he hasn't really experienced anything like the Monster Bash or anything like that yet.
Yeah, nope, I haven't been down there yet. Like I said, I consider myself the newbie. I was kind of a part-timer for many years, and now I'm starting to get more into the full-time aspect of it since the trails opened up a few years back. So we're getting there.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're in it enough to come to Monster Bash. I'll go ahead and put that right now. Yeah. Yeah, it really is a great time. Everybody seems to have a blast, and it's just cool knowing that everybody there is also in the industry. You know, there's not too many events like that that go on. It's not a convention or anything like that. So it's just cool to get that many haunters all in one place, especially not during haunt season. So it's a good time.
So, you know, this is Wrestle Horror, so we got to throw a little wrestling in here.
Oh, I don't know. I warned Jim before the show started. I'm like, now I know it's called Wrestle Horror. I said, I don't know how much good I'll be talking about wrestling stuff.
It's okay.
I'm lucky I know who The Rock is.
That's important. As long as you know who The Rock is, you pass the test.
And I don't even know if he's classified wrestling anymore as much as many movies and stuff as he's doing. But I remember Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
The Undertaker. Yeah, did I get any points for that?
Definitely points for Taker. I mean, Hogan, you know, I don't know, yeah, whatever. Taker gets points. But the reason I was bringing it up, actually, is because, you know, we are Wrestle Horror. And I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Donnie actually owns a wrestling promotion in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, that's cool, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm his ring announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in the process of creating a new belt for the promotion.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And it's a Wrestle Horror belt.
Nice. Okay.
And on the side plates, there is Donnie's face in character and one of my faces in character.
Oh, my goodness. So one side's probably heavier than the other, right? I'm not going to say which side, probably.
But the basic center plate is going to be, you see our logo, the skull, the stylized skull. That's going to be the center plate. And whoever mocked it up, and I'm guessing it was Michael Pagano.
No, that created the logo?
Yeah.
No, it was David Stockwell.
Really? No. I'm talking about the belt.
Oh, the belt. No, that was Samson, the one he makes all of our belts.
Okay. So the belt maker himself.
Yep.
I can't wait to see the end product. I really can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got the design all figured out and went back and forth a couple times and added a little bit and changed some coloring. And yeah, it's all ready to go. Now we just got to send it out to be made.
That's cool.
That's exciting, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But before we wrap up, there's one requirement you have to do on the show.
Oh boy, what is it?
And it's Donnie's question, so I'm going to give it to Donnie unless he's got any other questions.
Yeah, I did have one more I wanted to throw out there to him. Okay. Because haunting or haunted houses is your specialty, as opposed to escape rooms and paranormal. What's your favorite kind of haunt that you've been through? Is it the touch, the no touch? Is it like gore? Is it jump scare? What kind of haunt is more satisfying for you?
My personal favorite is probably your more theatrical ones that really take a lot of time to A, create a story, and B, make that story very apparent as you're going through. So like there used to be a really good one down in Louisville called Zombie City, and that was at Asylum Haunted Scream Park. And it wasn't the scariest one, but just being able to interact with the actors, like it's almost like you were walking through a movie. You know, you had all this stuff unfolding around you, and then like the zombies would come and take the actors away, and they'd have these like airsoft guns shooting at the zombies and all that. And we'd be sneaking around behind the semi trailers and looking on, and we'd see this cult activity going on and somebody getting sacrificed, and we'd have to hurry and dart across before they saw us, and to get across the swampy catwalk into the cabin and eat the bugs so we could get around the zombie in the cage. And so yeah, so it was pretty cool getting that deep into the story, and then also like Hell's Gate or something like that up in Chicago, how they do the you have to go through the woods and actually find the house and go through the gates, and so you have the indoor and the outdoor, and just really all ties together with all the stories and skits that they put on inside. Really, really appreciate the time and effort into a well produced, you know, theatrical show for sure.
Yeah. Nice. Very cool.
Cool. So, all right, now we're going to get back to the question here, and we do it. It kind of puts people on the spot, but there's no right or wrong answer. So whatever answer you bring up is the right one. And the question is, you are the main serial killer in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
My go-to kill, like the type of kill, how I perform a kill?
Yep. What'll be your favorite one?
I feel like I'd probably be a baseball bat kind of guy. Kind of like a shoot. I'm really bad at coming up with names and stuff right offhand. The barbed wire bat from Walking Dead.
Oh, Negan's?
Negan's.
Yeah, Lucille,
that's it. Yep. I feel like I'd be a Lucille kind of guy. Yeah.
There you go.
Fair enough. We have yet to have a duplicate answer, and we've been asking this for how many episodes now?
Probably a good 50 or so.
Right. Yeah. So never a duplicate answer. So there's no wrong answer, but to you, it's the right answer.
I'm glad I could keep the trend going and keep it unique.
So, Tyler, tell us how people can find out more about the Scare Factor, all your social media outlets, things like that.
Sure thing. So, of course, we've got thescarefactor.com. Got to have the in front of there. We're on all of the socials at The Scare Factor. It's Facebook, Instagram, trying to get our TikTok going. That's been a lot of fun. We also have an email newsletter that you can sign up for called Haunt Advisor. And we send you all the updates and reviews for your particular states of interest. Instead of everything to everybody, you actually get what you just want or are interested in. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, pretty much at The Scare Factor, anywhere that can be searched, you'll find us.
Well, awesome. You know, it's been a great catching up with you, Tyler. It's, like I said, it's been too long. I look forward to seeing you again, hopefully at Monster Bash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry Nora's not here, but tell her I said hello.
I certainly will.
And thank you so much for coming on to Wrestle Horror and talking to us about the Scare Factor. And for myself and Donnie and our special guest, Tyler Prophet, I am Meat Hook Jim, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Sounds great. Guys. Thanks for having me, Jim. Yeah. And Donnie.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.